Grace, mercy, and peace be unto you from God the Father, and from our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen. Very early on in life, we chart things according to milestones, events. Almost every parent of every child has a first birthday celebration. The child doesn't remember, but the parent does. And sometimes you make a really big deal out of it, and still the child doesn't know, and we make the big deal, but we make it for ourselves. But that's a milestone. And then we have these other milestones that take place throughout life, going into kindergarten and elementary school, middle school, senior high school, turning 16, getting your driver's license, graduating from high school, going into college maybe, going and graduating from college, getting your first job, getting your house or your first place to live, maybe getting married, and then children. And then our milestones are really based upon what happens with them. And then we stop counting our birthdays, because we really don't want to know anymore. And so we don't mark milestones the same way we did when we were younger. But I was struck by the fact that there are different milestones that pop up, things that I never expected. And they're not necessarily pleasant milestones, but they're ones that kind of remind you that maybe you're getting up there in years. So you wake up in the morning, you feel really bad, you go to the hospital, the doctor says, well, you have diverticulitis. That's what old people are supposed to get. Oh, I qualify. And then I had, this past week, my friend Ron had open heart surgery. And it was the first of my friends to have that sort of major surgery, which happens quite often. But it is, again, one of those milestones that you're kind of getting up there on the scale of years. Now, nobody would know Ron by his name. Actually, a lot of people don't, because everybody calls him Bubba. And he's doing fine. Got a new valve, cleared some things out for him. It's all going well. But for Bubba, this is just a blip in terms of his level of health. Bubba and I first met when I was working at camp. He was actually a counselor when I was his counselor in training. And when I was in college, I think it was my second year of college, I got a call from him, and they had discovered that he had testicular cancer. And so he goes into the hospital, and they decide to do the exploratory thing to be able to check the different lymph nodes. And so they basically opened him up from stem to stern. And what they found out was he was filled with cancer. New cancers, old cancers, every lymph node was involved. It was throughout his system. And so they sewed him back up, and they said, Bubba, you're going to die. You're going to die in 3 months if you don't do something. But we can start chemotherapy, and maybe with chemotherapy we can get 6 or 9 months. So Bubba started chemo. And of course, Bubba's still around, some 35 years later. A miracle. It's all that can really be defined. Doctors couldn't explain it. Bubba had these huge prayer chains throughout the country because Bubba knew everybody, it would seem. He had friends all over the place, and he called on those friends really to be able to develop prayer chains for him during his treatment for his time, and, well, it seemed to work. A miracle. Our today's gospel lesson, we have two miracles. We have the miracle of the woman who touches Jesus' garment and then is healed, and the miracle of Jesus raising the little girl from death. Now, apart from Jesus, the two things that were really wrapped into this whole experience for both of these people involved, well, actually not the little girl, but her father, was faith. Your faith has made you well. We don't get a whole lot of that nowadays. It would be nice, you know, figure out, we'll run up and touch somebody's garment at the right place, and oh, I feel better now. This is good. I like this. And so we wonder, I think, from time to time, why it isn't that way in the world in which we live. Why don't we have these miracles? But I would hold that we do. But you see, the thing about a miracle is you can't always see it as a miracle. For instance, raise your hand if you have left the house at some point in time and then had to turn around because there was something you forgot. Now, I can hold to you that that would just be one of these lapses of memory that take place for just about everybody, that we forget about things, or could it possibly be that that was something purposefully that happened to you to be able to keep you out of harm's way, because wherever you were going at that point in time in that situation could have befelled danger for you? As if you had driven down the road when you were supposed to and didn't turn around and somebody was texting and not paying attention and crossed the double yellow line. Or any variety of different things. A miracle, but not a miracle, because we can't tell that it's a miracle, because it's just part of our everyday life and it's just one of those forgetful things, so we don't know, really. It's kind of like what goes on with the security of this nation, that all of these terroristic threats that don't happen because people are doing their jobs. All those things that don't happen that we never hear about because they're doing their job. The things that don't happen in our lives because God is doing His job. Now, that does not prevent the fact in terms of bad things happening to us, because they do. It is part of our lives. It is part of our human nature. It is how we're forced to deal with things. But the miracles that can take place within those things that happen within our lives can also touch us in a number of different ways. Somebody who's been battling a life-ending disease finds that they've battled it much longer than they could ever possibly imagine. I had a woman from my old congregation. Her name was Nancy Jellamy. She died last year. Nancy had pancreatic cancer. It was wrapped around a bunch of blood vessels, so when they did the surgery, they could not remove the entire tumor. She had a daughter who was getting married. She was convinced she would never make it to the wedding. Not only did Nancy make it to the wedding, but she also was around to see that couple bear her two grandchildren. Yeah, she still died from it. But the miracle is that she lived a whole lot longer than anyone ever possibly thought. A miracle. You see, we're given the tools for miracles within our world. God gives us each a toolkit, believe it or not. The biggest part of that toolkit is our faith, but within there is also a bunch of different skills and abilities that make us very unique people. And when we utilize that toolkit for the good of the world around us, when we utilize that toolkit for the good of family and friends or even for ourselves, and we do things based on faith, what we can find is there are miracles that do indeed take place. Maybe not a miracle that's going to change the scope of the world and shift it from its foundations and find us on CNN being interviewed about this miraculous thing that took place, but a miracle that changes people's lives. Because when you can change the life of a person, there is a miracle that has taken place. When we can use those gifts that God has blessed us with and find a way to change the lives of others, there is a miracle. When you look at a single mother who's working two jobs and after dinner can take the time in her exhaustion to sit down with her children and do their homework with them, that is a miracle. Because that's well beyond the scope and framework of understanding what any normal human being would do. But it is a miracle based out of that love that God has blessed them with. The love between a parent and a child. When we take the time to be able to do what we can to help the homeless, to change one person's life, there is a miracle that has taken place. When we do what we can to be able to feed those who are hungry, there is a miracle that has taken place. When we gather together and work for Habitat with Humanity and use our very minor skills and abilities of carpentry work, that is a miracle, especially if we don't smash our thumbs when we're doing it. But you see, miracles are rife throughout this world. They take place each and every moment of our lives. It's just a matter of us being able to recognize a miracle for what it is. We may never have the opportunity to see somebody healed by just simply touching a garment, and we will probably never have the opportunity of Jesus coming down and touching somebody's hand and raising them from the dead. But nonetheless, those miracles take place each and every day within our world in terms of what God has blessed us with, giving us the ability to step out of our lives and to be able to take that toolbox of faith and to be able to share what God has given us with the world around us, to be able to change the lives of individuals. And when you do that, there is a miracle that has taken place. You may not recognize it, but that person does. Because they understand the presence of God that has moved and changed their lives. Our challenge is to use that toolbox every day. To be able to take whatever it is that God has given us, and that changes moment to moment, day by day. Take those tools and that gifts and shape it by the faith that God has blessed us with, and to go out into that world and seek out ways to be miracles here today. When we do that, we change the world. We change the world of individuals. But most of all, we do exactly what Christ did in His time on this place, using what God had blessed him with to change the lives of people. God asks us to do nothing less than that. Use what we got, make a difference, change the lives of people. Amen.